Nation. And we also heard Pooja Goswami. She's part of the entourage that is accompanying the play over at the Southern Theater, the Life of Kabir, and the current situation in Minneapolis. There's 2:30 today, and then Thursday through Sunday next week. So definitely go check it out. And good old the arts. There's a Balkan mosaic over at the Arts on Lefron. That's at 1697 Lefron today at 4 o'clock. That about does it for me. The time is 10 o'clock. You are listening to KFAI 90.3 FM HD in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org. Stay tuned. Coming up next is the Wave Project.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and on the web at kfai.org. For the next 60 minutes, you'll be hearing The Wave Project, KFAI's weekly community access hour. If you'd like to produce your own one-hour radio program, information on applying can be found at kfai.org/waveproject. The views expressed on this program are those of the persons expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Fresh Air's Incorporated Board of Directors, volunteers, or staff.
For 500 years, my people have resisted. For 500 years, we will resist again. We cannot protect that seventh generation if we do not protect the earth. We cannot protect ourselves if we do not protect the earth. The earth gives us life, not the American government. They have made us to believe that they are power, but they are not. They are violent and they are brutal, but they are not power. We are a natural part of the earth. As a natural part of the earth, we have the energy and the power that is the earth. The earth will take care of us if we will remember the earth in more than just our words.
We are made of earth. Why do we think we're so powerless? Accepting oppression for so long, it's rewritten all our songs. Now we sing those lies every day. The truth seems so far away. Truth is, we are made of earth, we are power.
All of our ancestors who were here.
Welcome, welcome to Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, which sometimes gets ignored by national speakers, like at the No Kings concert event. This is your host, Dave Logsdon. I'm with a wonderful organization that's going on to its 40th year in existence here, the Veterans for Peace, Chapter 27. So you just heard a little taste of Annie Humphrey, the amazing Marine Corps veteran, fierce indigenous fighter for all things like the planet and indigenous rights. And of course, she samples a little bit of John Trudell wisdom, and which I think is totally appropriate because our program, we're going to focus, a good part of our program will be on Earth Day coming up on Wednesday. And with me in studio is my cohort and a partner in crime for a lot of these years, Mike McDonald.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Yeah. So what's new?
I'll tell you what's new. What I'll tell you what is very normal is that the program gets we plan these programs on the fly, the seat of our pants, including our wonderful engineer Pam. We manage to get to the finish line. But so we're coming up on Earth Day, and I know you have a couple things to say.
Yesterday we started off the Earth Day is coming up this coming Wednesday on the 22nd. But yesterday there was a rally downtown Minneapolis, and there was a march from the government center to Commons Park, and it was a blustery, cold day, but there were still hundreds of people there, and many different groups were sponsoring, and there was really good music and a lot of discussion, and all around the climate issues, which is utmost concern with many of us. And coming up this coming Wednesday on actual Earth Day, Veterans for Peace is sponsoring a film at McAllister College entitled Earth's Greatest Enemy. And spoiler alert, it's about the U.S. military. And so that's...
Now, this film has been shown here in the Twin Cities already.
It has. It has. It's worked its way around many different cities in the country, but we're hoping to fill a 300-plus seat auditorium at McAllister this Wednesday evening. It's at 6:30 at the Ruth Stryker Dayton McAllister Campus Center. It's one of the main buildings just off of Grand and Snelling.
Yeah. So, and it's a free will donation, so we can't mention prices anyway, but if we won't turn down any size bill if you want to donate it. But we want to make sure everybody sees it. So if you don't have a nickel to your name, you can still see the film.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's this coming Wednesday, the 22nd.
Yeah. Very good. And, the rally yesterday, I was hoping to see thousands of people, and it was kind of disappointing to see. It was a little bit of a cold day, so.
Yeah, and people are a little bit worn out, too, from the No Kings rallies and everything else. It's hard to keep the momentum up, and that's what we hope will happen on May 1st when there's going to be a strike, a general strike, and we hope that brings out good crowds. The theme is no work, no school, no shopping. And so hopefully that...
When is that again?
That is May 1st. Okay. On May Day. Yeah. On May Day. So it's a Friday.
And it has nothing to do with the May Day parade, of course. That's just...
No. It's a different deal. No, it does not. But we hope that's a big turnout for lots of different actions. And people staying away from the big box stores, supporting local businesses, which were hurt during, of course, greatly during COVID and... No. And more recently with ice in town.
I always say it's boycotting a Starbucks is that's a real easy one for me to do. I don't think I've been to a Starbucks and I can't remember when. But being a locavore, and I think environmentally, I went around with this Seward Co-op because they sell Tillamook cheese and dairy products, and I said, I've been by Tillamook. It's as far west as you can go. It's almost in the Pacific Ocean. We live in the Dairyland, Wisconsin, Minnesota. This is the heartland, the Dairyland, and we're shipping cheese from the west coast of the United States here. I mean, I just think these are little. Maybe a little bit of picky-ish by my part, but I just think thinking locally and locally sourcing your stuff and growing your own and buying from and working with your neighbors to try to keep it as much local as possible.
Yeah, so smaller is better than bigger. Yeah,
and it's for the economy, that's one thing, but also for the just the moving stuff by truck cross country is crazy. It's just like, and I love avocados. Let me just say that. I love avocados, but avocados are very water intensive, and there's a lot of political things about it. I know at the Seward Co-op you can get organic avocados, and they're probably a little bit more sustainably grown, but they still have to be shipped in. I don't have an avocado tree in my backyard or a banana tree. So, I mean, it's just part of the thing. And bananas, and having cheap bananas has been the source of a lot of South American oppression. Mm-hmm. And which is a nice segue to introduce our second guest that we have here, Rebecca Paracole. And Rebecca is a part of SCOTA, which is, I always get the acronym for SCOTA is
Solidarity Committee on the Americas. And we work in solidarity with the people of Latin America and the Caribbean, and we oppose U.S. imperialism and the Monroe Doctrine.
And absolutely, and apparently that's in the guy who's in the White House right now. I won't mention his name.
Yes,
rhymes with dump. And he his sights are on Cuba. If he ever gets out of the quagmire that he started in the Middle East, which is devastating the environment, everything's going to have an Earth Day component to it. It's killing a lot of people, but it's devastating the environment. And anyway, Rebecca, you're here to talk about some of the events around support for Solidarity for Cuba.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's so nice to be here. I just also want to give a shout out to Vets for Peace, Local Chapter 27, because I also am an honorary member of Vets for
You're
Peace.
You're an associate member.
The associate member. That's right. That's right. So, and Vets for Peace has always been a huge supporter of not only SCOTA, but also a lot of anti-imperialist events and you know, important ideas that we've supported and worked in coalition. And this coming Monday, I guess that would be tomorrow, April 20th, Vets for Peace is a co-endorser of an event that SCOTA is hosting at May Day Plaza and May Day Bookstore starting at 4:30. We are co-hosting the event with the Minnesota Cuba Committee, along with many co-endorsers such as Vets for Peace, the National Lawyers Guild, Witness for Peace, and others. And we are celebrating the Bay of Pigs, the 65th anniversary of the Bay of Pigs. In Spanish, it's called Playa Girón. And it celebrates the victory of the Cuban Revolution and the Cuban people against the U.S. Imperialist mercenaries that invaded.
Basically, the U.S. got their butts handed to them by Cuba. That was under the Kennedy administration. So
that's right. That was 65 years ago. And it was only a 72-hour period, actually.
Yeah.
And the Cubans managed to defeat the U.S. mercenaries within 72 hours. And tomorrow is the final day is the actual day of victory. So that's why we chose the event to occur on April 20th. So we invite everybody to come to May Day Plaza at 4:30. We'll be hosting a hour-long picket in the plaza, and then at 5:30 we'll be going into the bookstore to do a panel discussion. Ricardo Levins Morales, who's a local artist, will be speaking, and we'll have a Q&A period and also just time for people who, you know, have experienced that period of history personally, just to reflect on how we're facing similar challenges right now due to the Trump administration's maximum escalation policy against Cuba, and also what we can learn from that experience and the Cuban people in 67 years of a socialist revolution and 90 miles from our border.
The May Day Plaza is right across the parking lot here from, actually, we look out our window, we can almost see it. And May Day Bookstore is a unabashedly collectively run socialist bookstore, so it's an appropriate place for to have a Cuba rally. And right now, shout out to our good friend Craig Palmer, who's in healing right now, healing himself back to be back in the game. But it's been part and parcel of what's going on in Minnesota, and why people love living in Minneapolis-St. Paul area is that the collective pulls together. And we saw this during ICE, where people out of 0 degree weather standing on the corner every morning, making sure that the kiddos get to school, you know, and safely, and just everything. Remember the No Kings stuff, and you know, a lot of the people at No Kings, I probably disagreed with politically in some ways, but we all agreed that something needs to be done. So I think we all have to kind of just be patient and tolerant of each other's different points of view.
As a side note, I just talked to somebody who just came back from Arizona and was wearing a Minnesota T-shirt down there and got rave reviews from many of the locals saying, you know, Minneapolis, boy, they're getting it done. And that is so true for several years now. And for some reason, this seems to be the center of the universe right now.
That's right. And Minneapolis was nominated, or the people of Minneapolis nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by The Nation magazine due to our collective organizing across all sorts of different identities and political spectrums in order to, you know, insist that ICE stop committing its atrocities.
So, Rebecca, how can we support Cuba? They I know they had a flotilla went down there with medical supplies.
That's right. And you continue to send members and community members. I'll be leaving for Cuba this Friday through a group called Building Relations with Cuban Labor. We'll be meeting with a lot of labor organizers in Cuba, and we'll be delivering medical supplies as well directly to the hospitals. So if listeners want to, they can drop off either medical supplies or cash donations to the WAM building, and that's at 4200 Cedar Avenue South in Minneapolis. Otherwise, if you prefer to do an online donation, you can go on to Saving Lives. It's you can just find Google Saving Lives, and they work in conjunction with the Cuban people to provide medical supplies that are extremely difficult to get right now due to Cuba's placement on the SSOT, the state sponsor of terrorism list, as well as the embargo, as well as Trump's escalated oil embargo. So they send things like pacemakers. They also assist in campaigns to deliver solar panels to Cuba so that Cuba doesn't have to rely so much on oil. And they also we also worked with Saving Lives about 2 years ago to do a big campaign to get syringes during the latter part of the COVID years to make sure they had enough syringes for vaccinations.
And this is a country that whenever there's a need for medical people or help anywhere in the world, they send them out. They send medical people all over.
How subversive.
Yeah.
Right. Their export is actually medical solidarity and medical brigades and doctors. And as a matter of fact, my primary care physician here in Minneapolis is ELAM, is the Latin American School of Medicine trained doctor in Havana. And they accept, you know, all kinds of patients like myself and my son, both on Medicaid. They sliding fee scale. They do home visits. The ELAM trained doctors their approach to medicine is very holistic. It's very egalitarian. So we just really appreciate Cuba's solidarity and you know, sending medical professionals throughout the world to show us what it means to build a people's future.
So you're going to Cuba yourself?
Yes.
Next weekend, right?
Yes, that's right. And I'll be there over May Day. So I won't be in Minneapolis for the no work, no school day, but I'll be in solidarity,
Cuba,
in Havana with you.
I'm so jealous. I'm just so jealous. I mean, I was there right before COVID hit. It was just like three months before the COVID thing hit. And what an experience. I mean, just the spirit of the people and the collective energy of getting things done. We went to a organic farm where he's doing all the sustainable work. And it is terrific. And if we would just get our knee off their neck, they could thrive quite easily.
As a little tie into that, just this morning I heard on a podcast a quote from a man named Ronnie Chan, he's a Chinese businessman. He said, as he was being interviewed by some Western media, he said, "Can you learn to not impose your values on other countries. That's what the problem is with America, and it has been since World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We're continually trying to run other people's business. Who put us in charge?
Mm-hmm.
I guess we put ourselves in charge. We're a bully nation.
And I think that's an interesting expression, that our values.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So people, you can have a whole discussion on our values, right?
Yes.
I think we're going to maybe segue into a song really quickly. If Pam has got one queued up, we can have a little interlude to discuss things. And Pam's got it. She's right on it.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. Oh, the times they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times they are a-changing.
Yes, we're back. Yeah, it's been a delightful morning here with our my two distinguished guests, and no, well, maybe that might be overstating it, but anyway, Mike, did you want to get us started with a little bit of Caitlin Johnstone?
A little bit of Caitlin Johnstone. Quite the.
Could you tell us who Caitlin Johnstone is?
Caitlin's from Australia, and she has a great a message every day she puts out about world situations. And here's one of her latest ones. I don't mind admitting that I hope the U.S. and Israel suffer a crushing, devastating defeat in Iran. I hope this war collapses the entire U.S. empire. My only loyalty is to humanity. And being on Team Human in today's world means being against the U.S. Empire and against Israel. Thank you, Caitlin, for that. She inspires me almost daily. And I think even some Republicans now, like Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, are questioning this war. And brave Democrats like Ro Khanna are calling for senators like Chuck Schumer to step aside because they're advocating bulldozers to Israel to mow down Gazan villages. We're at a breaking point, I feel, in this country, and more Americans, though, are waking up to all of our problems, and a lot of it's based on American attitudes and the military.
Well, it's a pretty intense statement to say she hopes that the... we're talking about the economic system, so many things that each and every one of us in this room and in Radio Land is going to be affected, probably not in a positive way. And I think I also think that usually the poorest of the poor and the children are the ones who suffer the most. Mm-hmm. We always find that to be true, don't we?
Yeah, especially the fact that, you know, Caitlin's statement is very, I think, timely, given the fact that we're seeing $1 billion a day being spent on this illegal war against Iran and the people of Iran by the U.S. empire. And we're cutting, you know, health care, Medicaid, public schools, elder care, you know, at home here. People's living situations are dire. The rates of unhoused neighbors are increasing. Evictions are increasing. And yet we're spending $1 billion a day murdering our neighbors in other countries.
And I know you've worked with the teachers union.
I work with Minneapolis Families for Public Schools, and we're an organization of parents who organize alongside MFE, Local 59, the Minneapolis Federation of Educators. And so we really focus on investment in our public schools, in our children, and robust public education within the city and throughout the whole state as well, since we're seeing so many cuts to public education due to fiscal crises that have been started due to massive amounts of military spending.
And there's so many areas that are going to have to be reexamined. And there's always been that thought in activist communities that sometimes you can't just keep putting band-aids on the situation, and sometimes you got to tear it down to its roots to get down to some real true stuff. But it's always painful, and I like to sugarcoat it. Before you call for, that's good. Let's have a massive revolution, destruction. It's like, you have to think about these things. I mean, because it's not going to be easy, and in any type of transition, there's going to be injustice. Mm-hmm. And we justice people who fight for justice are going to have a hard time with that, reconciling that.
And so, I think that goes to, Dave, that's a really good point, because I think we're seeing, like, now with what Mike was saying, a lot of people across the country and the world sort of admiring the organizing that regular Minneapolis residents have been doing in the last several months. It kind of goes to show that there are various tools in our toolbox to fight against, you know, U.S. imperialism, both at home and abroad. And I just kind of wanted to segue into the fact that there are a couple of bills in the House and Senate, and we're asking listeners to call Senator Klobuchar, Senator Smith, and our House of Representatives, whoever represents you, and ask them please to support the Wyden bill in the Senate and the McGovern bill in the House. And both of those two bills would stop or remove the six-decade embargo against Cuba. And Representative Velasquez in the House has also introduced a bill called the New Good Neighbor Act, which would put a stop to all Monroe Doctrine policies within Latin America and the Caribbean. And we really support that legislation and hope that it will pass in a bipartisan manner.
And I did see in the paper today that the administration is relaxing restrictions on Russian, the sanctions on Russian oil, which means hopefully they get another shipment of oil into Cuba again.
That's right.
That would be huge.
That's
right.
I mean,
every drop of oil is huge in that. And we're talking about the and thinking about the environment. And Tina Smith would be a good person to talk about for your particular bill and that. But Tina Smith is she's a short timer. She's not going to run again. And we're getting more traction with her than we ever have, because she doesn't have to run again. And even Amy Klobuchar has been saying publicly that she's running away from AIPAC money, but we'll see how that works out. Supposedly, she's not taking any more money from AIPAC. She was the number one of the top five recipients of AIPAC
money. She's down the list of ways. I think the one I heard was like 13th. But you got people like Schumer have 6 million and many others that have her in the millions.
Some other people were belling up to the trough ahead of her. Huh?
Yeah.
You know, but you know what? There's other clever ways of funneling money into her campaign. So, I mean, it's all. But Tina Smith is doing this wonderful work she's doing trying to stop this lifting of the.
The mining ban up in
the mining ban.
Yeah.
And this is something that, and you have roots up in northern Minnesota, don't you, or not?
Yes, I do. I have family from the Cloquet, Duluth, Esco region and within the Iron Range area.
Yeah, and it's a real battle now. I mean, Ely, Minnesota is a real, that place is almost has a civil war there.
Because between the tourism folks and the mining folks, it's a tough place to have a good conversation.
It's kind of like ground zero. My son went to school there at Vermilion College, and that's an interesting dynamic there. And you know, people are like, we want to create jobs, but. Partnering with a mining company with a horrific record, and some of the stuff they did is irreversible damage to the environment. And to say, they've improved. They've gotten better. You can trust them now. It's like, no. You know what? This is the a precious jewel, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, and we're going to entrust it with somebody that says, we screwed up there, but we're going to be a lot better. We're really conscientious. No.
Bottom line is, it's always about the dollars. So that's why there are people pushing for it big time.
Yeah, well, that's it. And that's the classic divide and conquer strategy of the corporate state is to labor, the DFL, divide the labor from the environmentalists in the Democratic Party, and you divide and conquer. We've seen this happen, and it's really happening before our eyes.
Yes, and it kind of speaks to the merger of the Farm Labor Party with the Democratic Party in, the late 40s, early 50s, when Hubert Humphrey purged so many of the farm labor organizers and communists from northern Minnesota out of the DFL, and it became a more corporate focused political party after the merger.
Yeah, and you know, there's so many things that divide us, and I know I've been criticized for being somebody who is a little bit too forgiving of people, but I think a wider a grouping, and it's so easy. And as you know, Rebecca, you're familiar with the political machinations of at May Day Books between all the socialists and all the communist groups in town, where they spend as much time fighting each other as they do trying to make change in society.
That's right.
And I've always thought that. We at 4200 anti-war committee and Women Against Military Madness, and there are not only our neighbors, literally our neighbors in that building, but they're our allies, and we support each other. We have different tactics and different people, but I don't want to ever undermine them.
Yeah, I think it's really, I think that speaks to kind of what we're talking about, even, you know, in Ely and in the Range right now with the issue of mining. Like, it's really important that those of us in working in international peace and solidarity have the widest, broadest coalition possible. You know, anybody can disagree on certain political issues and points, but if we're all working in coalition towards, whether that be anti-war, public schools, you know, healthcare for all, equal access for those with disabilities, whatever the goal may be, we can work across all sorts of different political lines in coalition to achieve our objective, because mass unity and, you know, people power is the only way we're going to make any kind of progress. And I think Minneapolis has proven that point, you know, in this winter of 2026.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have another quote I want to share.
Okay.
From Danny Shearson, our friend, who wrote The True History of the United States. And maybe after the music we can comment about this a little bit. Change, reform, and revolution must explode from the grassroots, from organized people power. The precious, highly lauded institutions of American representative democracy have failed the people yet again. Only new collectivist bodies, egalitarian citizen groups, can wield the power to demand a new path for the nation. The odds are stacked against them, no doubt. Those who control the current system count on citizen apathy, reinforce it even, and know they cannot continue indefinitely to hold the reins without it. The owners of this country, the corporations and their proxy politicians, fear a cross-class, multicultural movement by poor and working people more than anything. Power rightfully belongs to the people, was promised to them by the America's founding document. After all, the preamble of the Constitution stipulates that the government exists to serve not the states, the rich, the corporations, or the military, but the American people. They can seize control of their collective destiny if they have the courage and the will to take it.
Oh, well
great
said.
Great words from Danny.
Well said. I think it's time for a little musical interlude, and we'll get right back to you.
Compañeros poetas, tomando en cuenta los últimos sucesos en la poesía, quisiera preguntar. Me urge, ¿qué tipo de adjetivos se deben usar para hacer el poema de un barco sin que se haga sentimental? Fuera de la vanguardia o evidente panfleto, si debo usar palabras como flota cubana de pesca y playa Girón. Compañeros de música, tomando en cuenta esas politonales y audaces canciones, quisiera preguntar. Me urge, ¿qué tipo de armonía se debe usar para hacer la canción de este barco con hombres de poca niñez, hombres y solamente hombres sobre cubierta, hombres negros y rojos y azules, los hombres que pueblan el Playa Girón. Compañeros de historia, tomando en cuenta lo implacable que debe ser la verdad, quisiera preguntar, me urge tanto, ¿qué debiera decir? ¿Qué fronteras debo respetar? Si alguien roba comida y después da la vida, ¿qué hacer? ¿Hasta dónde debemos practicar las verdades? ¿Hasta dónde sabemos que escriban pues la historia, su historia, los hombres del Playa Girón? Que escriban pues la historia, su historia, los hombres del Playa Girón.
Yes, we're back, and that was Silvio Rodriguez. And Rebecca, you can tell us a little bit about Silvio.
Sure. Silvio Rodriguez is a Cuban artist, considered a Cuban folk artist. He's the equivalent of, I guess we could say, the U.S. or Minnesota Bob Dylan. And I was honored to see him play live in 1997 in Havana when I was in Cuba for the World Youth Anti-Imperialist Festival. But I particularly appreciate this song that we just heard because it was entitled Playa Girón and was a very poetic approach to the Bay of Pigs invasion and the spirit of resistance of the Cuban Revolution and, you know, what we can learn from that. And some of those dialectics, like there's a line in the song, hasta donde sabemos practicar las verdades, like how will we know when we're practicing the truth? And I think it kind of speaks to, know, what we've been talking about on the program today of people power, broad coalitions working in across all of our differences to meet our final objective of, liberation.
Thank you for that. Yeah. You'll have a blast down there. It's just great. You know, I love to dance, and so there's dancing everywhere, you know. I mean, we had a little get together at the end with our group, and did a little dancing, and then this one Cuban guy that I met down there, the young guy, he just blew me out of the water. Here I thought I could dance. Nah, here, this is dancing, kid. Yeah, but it's good. The Cuban people obviously are have so much to give to the world, and they've been stamped on and kicked around for a long time.
Let them live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, and speaking of environmental things and Cuba, their coastline is very pristine, because they don't have corporate America dumping crap into the waters and stuff. They're actually, their environmental protecting is really good. Which brings me a little bit to the how the indigenous, we started off with John Trudell talking about that, and the indigenous people have always been protective and knew how to live in sync and rhythm with nature without trying to subdue nature, that like the white Euro, my ancestors are good at subduing nature and building amazing buildings like the building we're in right now that lasted for hundreds of years. But this is this is built on the traditional ancient lands of the Dakota people, who lived for thousands of years in harmony with nature without killing nature and trying to destroy it. So, and I think this Earth Day, we should all take a moment at least on Wednesday, and there'll be other actions, other things going on during the day, but we always say save a little bit of energy for our film at McAllister.
Line 5 is the next big issue that a lot of people are worried about. We weren't able to stop Line 3. We tried in Minnesota, but hopefully Line 5 can be thwarted, and it's going to affect, again, native lands in Wisconsin and Michigan.
Yeah.
So that's high on the list of things to support.
Mm-hmm. And I do think we've come a long ways in a short amount of time, I know myself included, in our awareness of indigenous cultures. And even in indigenous cultures have come a long way in teaching their language and their spiritual practices and all their wonderful history. In fact, at our Veterans for Peace convention in Kansas City on August 8th to the 10th, we will be... it'll have a real indigenous stamp, including from our own people that I know from here in the community will be down, including Tom Strong Buffalo LeBlanc will be there. And it should be a wonderful convention at that time, too. So you go to the veteransforpeace.org is our national website. And they'll have the information about the convention and how you can attend if you happen to be going down that way. Kansas City is a wonderful, wonderful place. My teacher, my indigenous teacher, Chris Matonupa, Dr. Chris Matonupa, I butchered his name, Matonupa, he wants to go too, so I'm going to figure out a way to get his 85-year-old body down there. But he would be great to be come down too. Anyway, I talk too much. So, do you have anything else to add to this?
I just want to reiterate that May 1 is an important day. I think maybe the. You know, hopefully a peaceful way we can end a lot of our troubles is if the people rise up. You know, what we've been talking about, that we get enough people, is we really have the power. It's not the one percenters, it's the rest of us, and we just have to wield that power and show who's really in charge. You know, what happened in this country almost 100 years ago now, in the 30s, when the union movement started, and there's time for a... big push again along those lines.
Yeah, and I do think that the community is rising up, and I do think, I mean, everything from just in this neighborhood, that we have collectively run, volunteer-run places and right within walking distance of KFAI. And KFAI, by the way, I'll remind people, is an amazing voice. We should always, when you think of it, to try to support KFAI in any way possible, because this is an invaluable voice of the people. And to lose or have any cutting into their largesse would be a real blow to the community. So we need to hunker down. You may not be able to get out there and do stuff, but you can always write a check or go online and donate too. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah, and I think that May Day, May 1st, no work, no school, no shopping event. You know, we learned a lot from the January 23rd general strike in Minneapolis, and we saw how motivated and quickly broad mass coalitions across labor unions, across faith groups, across nonprofits, across community radio stations and community childcare centers, and all sorts of different, groups and organizations, even neighborhood network, rapid response networks. Just a huge coalition. What uniting in people power can actually do? What kind of message that can send to, the bourgeois and the military industrial complex and those attempting to stifle any sort of mass people power.
And I understand people, especially if we get younger activists get involved, young activists like myself. Boy, why are you laughing? younger activists are a tad impatient at times, which is understandable. They're frustrated because they're not seeing change happen overnight. But this stuff doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And building the bricks of a solid new tomorrow is important work. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of diligence and showing up. Sometimes when you don't feel like showing up, and you hunker down and get out, grab your coat. Well, today you grab your coat. Maybe the weather will get better. We won't have to do that, right? And we can enjoy a little bit of moisture because the world is facing a drought right now. And the heat temperature is... We're not feeling it here as much, but you go to sub-Saharan Africa and parts of the world of the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, and in the U.S. too. I know in the figures came in from March that it was the highest average temperature nationwide in 120 years. And we just can't keep ignoring the facts. And
it's not a fluke.
Mm-hmm. We have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's not a fluke, and people after a while, it's like it gets real old. It's like, no, this thing is changing, and it changes so many ways. Just like the parasites that the permafrost would kill normally are not dying. So you got parasites and stuff. You have the animal kingdoms moving into the Twin Cities because their refuges is disappearing and the temperatures are heating up. Buy vacation land in Hudson Bay. This is crazy.
It is.
This is crazy. But this has been an enjoyable hour, and I really appreciate having Mike come in at the last minute and Rebecca call her up, and she says, sure, I might even call you. I texted you.
That's right.
How modern of you.
I know.
At least I didn't do it, connect on Instagram or something.
No. But, no, thanks.
Nothing against Instagram out there, folks. I was talking to somebody who said, I'll be on the radio tomorrow morning. And she said, I don't know if I have a radio. Yeah, it's one of those antiquated devices that you can listen to.
Right. And to remind people, they can also, if they don't have a radio, they can live stream KFAI at KFAI.org.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we also archive this program. So that if you cannot, for some reason, hear it, you can archive for a couple weeks, right?
Oh, yeah. And I would just interject. I mean, you've spoken this hour about several events that are happening. And so people are doing their Sunday morning stuff at the same time they're listening to Wave Project. So we'll just have kind of a repeat of some of the events that are happening, especially tomorrow, the Wednesday event. And you can listen to it in the archives again for the next 2 weeks. So if you are doing your Sunday morning stuff and don't have a pen or something handy, you can listen again.
So when is that available then?
It's usually about 10 minutes after live broadcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually. give or take a few community radio minutes.
So you guys want to just repeat very quickly what the events?
Sure. Tomorrow at May Day Books and May Day Plaza, starting at 4:30, we will be doing a Cuba event sponsored by Solidarity Committee on the Americas and the Minnesota Cuba Committee, Vets for Peace, National Lawyers Guild, and others. From 4:30 to 5:30, we'll be at May Day Plaza outside picketing, and at 5:30 to 6:30 will be a panel discussion inside May Day Books, and we welcome everybody from all backgrounds to come and join us and celebrate and learn.
And Wednesday, and on Wednesday, before the film at McAllister, at between 4 and 5 on the Lake Street Bridge, is going to be a special Cuba Solidarity event.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Well, I think that'll be the following week, the 29th. I think it's on the 29th, but I think it's a good segue into state that every Wednesday from 4 to 5.
Yeah every Wednesday you can come out and have your Cuba Sea Blockade No signs,
right.
And come out. You're always welcome.
The Peace Bridge and then Lake Street Marshall. Yeah, bridge. Yeah.
Yes.
And a reminder of Wednesday's film, sponsored by Veterans for Peace. It's entitled Earth's Greatest Enemy. And again, spoiler alert, it's about the U.S. military, and a film by Abby Martin. And that's at 6:30 at McAllister College, basically.
It's an intense film.
It is.
It's not a fun date night kind of movie, but it depends on the date. If your date is an activist, it would be a good date.
Yes.
That's right.
Anyway, we're winding it up, and we got music. We're queuing up the music here pretty soon, and we'll be parting. And parting is such sweet sorrow. And I do appreciate Pam. You telling me about 2 days ago, like, hey, do you want to do a show? So if the show has a little rough edges around it, that's why.
Thanks, Dave, and thanks, Mike and Rebecca.
Thanks, Pam.
Imagine all the people. You've been listening to The Wave Project, KFAI's Community Access Hour. If you'd like to find out how you can produce your own one-hour radio program, check the KFAI website at kfai.org/waveproject. The Wave Project. It's anything you want it to be. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul.